while you are still undergoing trouble, while you are still undergoing testing, and even when it looks like that we are failing or being overwhelmed by stuff. So I'm telling you, you thank God in the midst of what you're going through. See, if we can thank God only when things are going well, then that thankfulness is at the bottom of faithfulness. All right? But also, if we can thank him in anticipation of what he would do in the future, we show more level of maturity. Because you are thanking God before it even comes. Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that's going to come my way. But then we have to understand, thank God, while we in the midst of our pain, while we are in the midst of our struggles, while we are in the midst of our problems, our persecution, it shows a level of maturity that few Christians seem to know. But that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to even thank him, even in the midst of what you're going through. Because we have to understand that. Now notice, when you notice that, look at verse 22 again. Verse 20 again. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that even our thanksgiving, it has to be done in the name of Jesus. Our thanksgiving has to be done in the name of Jesus. And so what did it say? This says that we should thank God for all things, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We ought to thank God for all things. And we must assume that sometimes the things that we call bad are really a way to help us to grow in the Lord. And so we got to look at that. Things that we go through, what we have to do is just stop and look at it and say, God has a purpose. God has a reason for me going through what I'm going through at this particular time. God is trying to grow us. God is trying to mature us, even in the things that we call bad, that he wants us to thank him, even in the good times. Even in the bad times. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that's a very familiar passage of scripture, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. And so our thanksgiving has to be done in the name of Jesus, but also that the thanks is to the Father. You see that? He says again, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the greatest gift that we can give to God is a thankful heart. That's the greatest gift we can give to God. Just being thankful. Lord, just being thankful just to be here today. Because God could have seen fit to take us out of this world. But he allowed us to be here just one more day. And we ought to have a thankful heart. We ought to be thankful for that. Because all we can give him is simply a grateful recognition of what he has done in our lives. So we give thanks for all things because guess what? He has given us all things. And so we thank him. Thank him in everything because this is God's will in Christ Jesus. That's what 1 Thessalonians talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. So that's what it's talking about. And so we have to glorify God We have to thank God no matter how much we may hurt, no matter how much we may be disappointed, no matter how much we fail to understand, we need to thank God for the good and for the bad. Because the same God that brings you through the good times is the same God that can bring you through the bad times. And so we thank God in the midst of what we're going through, because we know that God is there. And God said, he made a promise, I never leave you nor forsake you. Though I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And then what happens is, when you get to verse 21, in verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Submitting yourself one to another. Look what Paul does. What Paul now do is that he begins to make a transition. And what he does is that he introduces his teaching about a specific relationship of authority and submission among Christians. There in chapter 5, verse 22, and it goes all the way through chapter 6 and verse number 9. And so when we look at that, he's saying that every spirit filled Christian is to be humble. That's number one. You need to be humble. You need to be submissive Christians. All right? And so submission is a general spiritual attitude that everyone needs to have in relationships. And so what this is when he introduces this is the key to the rest of the verses that we're going to be seeing. This is the key right here. It's submission. It's submission. And what submission implies, it implies teamwork. It implies being a team player. And so a spirit-filled person does not have the spirit of criticism, dissension, envy, and divisiveness among the people. They also need to understand that if you are spirit-filled, you must not be faultless, but you think of others. You think of others. You can't be self-seeking. You have to have a team attitude. And that's what he is introducing here when he's beginning to talk about the husband and the wife relationship, is to help them to understand that they have to have a submissive heart. They have a team attitude. And so he says, in the fear of God. This is also a key to the rest of the verses that we're going to see. In the fear of God. Now, this is important, because what you're going to find here, and the reason it is important, make sure you keep it on your mind as we go through this, is that the reason that it is important is because Paul will repeat the idea of submission in the remaining part of these verses. Each time you're going to hear something that he's dealing with about submission. And so when he says in the fear of God, what it describes is, it describes what should be our motive for submitting to one another. What should be our motive in reverence to who? God. In the fear of God. And so we should submit to one another. We should see ourselves no longer as individualistic way, but as a unit, as a company, out of respect for God and out of respect for Jesus Christ. Well, why is that? Because if we respect Jesus, then we will submit to one another because we love Jesus. Y'all with me? So if we respect Jesus, then we're going to submit. We're going to humble ourselves to one another because of the fact we love Jesus. Now, if you don't love Jesus, if you don't respect Jesus, then you won't submit. So if you are a child of God, then what we understand here is he's saying you need to submit yourself. You need to humble yourself to one another in fear of the Lord, in respect of the Lord. Because guess what? We are going to have to one day stand before him. We are going to have to give an account of what we have done. And so we look at this. So it just means to have respect, y'all, for other people's rights. We got to have respect for other people. Don't feel that you must always be right. Be humble. Be humble toward your fellow servants of God. Why? Because Christ humbled himself. Christ humbled himself. Christ even washed the feet of the disciples. That's humility. He humbled himself. And so he said, but then he ended up by saying that the greatest among them should serve the others. And so now what he does, he introduces this submission because he's about to deal with the matrimonial or husbands and wives and children and servants. So he has to get us in a frame, he had to get them in the frame of mind of being submissive. And so when we look at this chapter, the remaining verses, it ends with what we describe, or we might describe, or we might call a walk in matrimonial harmony. Because what he's going to be dealing with is wives are exalted to submit or respect their husbands and submitting to them as unto the Lord, and husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And even he's going to be talking about loving he has to love his own body. And so what he is beginning to do is Paul is taking this time to introduce some things and opportunity to reveal the Lord's desire to present to himself a glorious church, holy, without blemish, which is why he gave himself for it. So let's look at that. Let's look at this. So verse 22 through 33, all right? The theme of submission that has already been mentioned in verse 21, when he introduces that, he takes it up and he develops this submission in detail. He develops it in detail from the church in general to the Christian household in particular. Now, according to submission authority, he's going to be treating three domestic relations. And that is the wife and the husband, verse 22 through 33, the children and the parents, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, and the servant and the master. That's what he's going to be dealing with in that chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Now, in order to understand verse 23, I want you to clear your mind. You got to begin. You got to clear your mind of what your idea or what this verse is all about. Just clear your mind. Because, see, one of the problems that today in our understanding, in our cultural ideals, is that of what is ahead, what's the head, and what is submission. That has been the problem. Because, you know, see, a lot of husbands, you know, they love this verse. They love these verses because they'll get to them and they say, listen, you do what I, look, hear what it says. I am the head. And you are to submit to me. That's a problem. That ain't what this text is dealing with. That ain't what this text is all about. So that's what Paul is. So that's why I said you clear your mind. You clear your mind of the understanding, and so we can get an understanding of what this passage of Scripture is talking about. All right? Y'all got your mind clear. All right? So you got to understand the word submit. Now, when you go back to the word submit, the word submit means to line up under in rank. All right? To line up under in rank. That's what submit means. It's a military word. All right? It's a military word. It speaks of the way that an army is organized among levels of rank. Now, I was in the Air Force. Now, I don't know how, you know, but I can tell you how the Air Force. Air Force, you start out as airman. From airman first class. From airman first class, senior airman. From senior airman, sergeant. From sergeant, staff sergeant. Staff sergeant, master sergeant. Tech sergeant. Tech sergeant, master sergeant. Master sergeant, senior master sergeant. Senior Master Sergeant, Chief Master Sergeant. Then it goes from the Chief Master Sergeant to the Second Lieutenant. Second Lieutenant, First Lieutenant. After the First Lieutenant, the Captain. After the, am I right, Brother Gray? Am I right? You're in the Air Force, all right. So what it does, it goes up. And then from the Captain, you got the Major. And then you got the colonel, and then you got the all the way up to the general. But each one of them is a rank. It's a rank above the other. So if you're a sergeant, you know, even though you might know a lot about a staff sergeant, he's above you, all right, in rank. And so you understand now, the word submit means to line up under in rank. You got to remember that because it's important when you are looking at this scripture. So when we're talking about submission from this particular point, what we are saying, it has to do with a God-appointed order. God-appointed order. All right? And so, in other words, to submit to God's order, his order is for the family. Husbands is the head. Then as the wife who submits to the husband, then there are the children. And so there is an order that God has put in place. Now, when you look at the head is very important, all right? The head in Scripture refers to authority and not being. Authority, and I'm going to explain that, and not being, all right? So, the reason I say that is because neither man or woman is superior to the other in being. Y'all with me? They are not superior to each other in being. Man and woman is equal in God's eyes. Because that's what we got to look at. We got to look at it on a spiritual level. They are equal on God in God's eyes. And so there is an essential partnership between men and women. Neither is independent of the other. Both are from the other, and the relationship that exists between them comes from God. Scripture for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I haven't even got into to the verse 22 yet, but I got to set the thing so you can understand. Why? Because it's important to understand head and submit. All right? So when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 11 and 12, he says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. I said they were independent of each other. All right? Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. All right? So there is an essential partnership between men and women. Neither is independent of the other. But also, there is neither male nor female in God's eyes. All right? He sees both men and women as one each significant to the other. Scripture, Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 28. Let's look at that, Galatians 3 and verse 28. All right. He says now in verse number 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So when God talks about man being the head of the woman, he is not talking about ability, worth, value. God is talking about function. He is talking about order within an organization. So what he's talking about here is the husband and the wife. Because understand, every organization has a head. Y'all know that? Every organization has to have a head for it to be operated in an efficient and orderly manner. So he says, wives, submit. What is submit? Line up under. Wives, line up under. Submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. The wife is to walk in a spirit of submission. All right? The submission is not the husband's to command. But it's for the wife to willingly and lovingly offer. All right? He says to your own husband. What it does right here is that it limits her submission to the one man God has placed over her, and also give a balanced emphasis that he is hers as a personal, intimate possession. Now, have anybody ever read the Song of Solomon? When you go back and read Solomon, you're going to see this. Solomon chapter 2, verse 16. Song of Solomon chapter 6 and verse 3. Song of Solomon 7 and verse 10. Again, that's Song of Solomon 2 and verse 16. 6 and verse number 3. 7 and verse 10. She submits to the man she possesses as her own. All right? So in other words, she acts out of love. She loves the Lord. Therefore, to please him, she submits herself under her own husband. All right? Now it's gonna get a little more deeper. All right, as we go along, which y'all, that's why I say it's important to understand submit and head. All right? And we're going to get to the head tonight. So what happens is that she willingly make herself subject to the one she possesses as her own husband. And so husband and wives, here it is, they are to have a mutual possessiveness. It has to be a mutual possessiveness as well as a submissive thing. They belong to each other in absolute equality. All right? There's a partnership. And so the husband is no more possesses his wife as the wife possesses him. They are in partnership. They submit. Why? We're going to see it. Because of the fact of the Lord. I do it because of the Lord. And that's what we're going to pick up. As unto the Lord. All right? So keep in mind, as we come back, Lord's willing, next week, keep in mind, submit. Keep in mind, head, keep in mind, fear of the Lord. Those three keys is important in these verses. Because if you don't understand submit, you don't understand head, then that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. All right? So that's what we're going to pick up. Next week. All right? Just going to go over our prayer request at this time. Again, we're going to continue to pray for Ken Gatewood, Tiffany Henson, Evelyn Johnson, Dorothy Bates, Mary Edwards,